Hello, folks. Welcome to the sixth episode now of the Hawks Watch podcast. This is actually my second intro take, I guess, here as I was trying to upload the podcast, which I have already recorded. Jalen Johnson actually signed a extension with the Hawks. So, wanted to kind of introduce that and talk a little bit about that. Throughout the rest of this podcast, I will be talking about, you know, kind of takeaways from preseason and, you know, going over the developments we've seen with Reese Shea and really setting the stage for the first, you know, month of the season. Kind of went through first 10 games and kind of gave my predictions there. So there's a lot to get into here, but I just wanted to start this off, you know, this couple days before the season opener on Wednesday, October 23rd. Today is Monday, and Jalen Johnson has, at the last minute, basically signed a 5-year, $150 million deal with no options in the contract for team or player. Okay, so straight up averages $30 million a year. I think this is a great signing. I mean, if you're going to do one of these extensions a year early, you're looking to get a discount on the player. And that's exactly what they did. I think, you know, Jalen is going to, obviously, their hope. And, you know, he is likely to solidify himself as a star in this league this year. And really the second guy in the Hawks rotation, kind of their number two. So, kind of wanted to just get on there, say, you know, one, congratulations, Jalen. It's a great sum of money that he's locked up. I'm sure that provides him, you know, some security financially and just, you know, peace of mind. And then for the Hawks, also kind of getting that discount, you know, by signing this, getting this done a year earlier than it had to, and maybe, you know, at the end of this season, maybe he was looking at a $40 million plus dollar contract a year, right? So I think it's a good signing. We'll see how it goes this year. I'm expecting Jalen to take that next leap. Of course, that doesn't have to come right away. First 1 to 2 months, it's going to be way different than, you know, what he was doing last year, even though his role was definitely ramped up, you know, last year. It's going to be ramped up even more, right? So it's going to look different. There could be ups and downs, but I'm glad they were able to get him, you know, kind of locked up long term for 5 more years after this season. So without further ado, I will let the intro music play and enjoy the rest of the podcast. So I'm going to start off here with some takeaways from the preseason and, you know, kind of go over the developments that we saw there. I have a few. I'm going to start with the offense. As I've been talking about all season, or all off season, I should say, Right after they made the DeJounte Murray trade, you know, brought in Dyson Daniels there. He was kind of an underused, undervalued part of that New Orleans team because they had a lot of wings ahead of him. He was a lottery talent a couple years back, so this is going to be his third season in the NBA. The Hawks recouped for some draft capital there as well. We have the 2025 Lakers first round pick, unprotected, another first round pick that they acquired in that deal. But really from there, say like pick Reese Shea, they made that trade, and that kind of you know, was the two biggest moves that they made. It surrounded the team with more size and length, with Dyson at 6'7", Reese Shea at 6'10", and a couple, you know, they're two young guys that they're now clearly adding to the core of this team. So just, you know, everyone that's listening to this podcast is already going to know all of those things, but just kind of wanted to preface, give an overview of, you know, the major moves of the offseason. So since then, you know, I've been kind of saying all offseason, well, you know, they did this, try to get away from that, you know, two-man game with Trey and DeJounte to where's, you know, your turn, my turn on offense was not, you know, cohesive on the offensive end. And on defense, they just couldn't stop anyone. Last year, they ended 27th in the NBA in defense. Just horrific. That is, you know, contrary to what happened in that Eastern Conference Finals runs where I believe it was 2021, that Eastern Conference Finals run, they were more of a middling defense, and towards the end of the year, you know, last 30-40 games, they were actually, you know, above average slightly on defense, mainly because Clint Capela was an absolute monster on the defensive end. And other than that, I mean, there's been really no good point of attack defenders on this team. DeAndre Hunter did not work out the way that Atlanta would have liked with his, you know, injury proneness. Maybe he's, you know, lost some lateral and athletic ability through that. So not, you know, blaming him or that he accepted the contract that was offered to him. It was, you know, just really a mistake by the organization, and he did not, you know, he did not pan out. It's not a horrendous, you know, contract. It's not good by any means, but it's not the worst contract in the NBA. But that, along with, you know, John Collins and his kind of, you know, decline with his shooting and kind of becoming a little bit, you know, out of fit with this team on the offensive end. There's just been a lot of movement. And then, you know, last year, last couple years, where we had Trey and DeJounte, it was just untenable on defense. The team had no depth last year. And, you know, everyone was injured and they had a terrible season. So this year is kind of a transition year. And I know that was a long preamble and preface. I do not want to go too long today on this podcast. So I'll kind of get to the meat and potatoes, but did want to give a little preface for, you know, maybe some people that have not listened and just kind of tuning in here at the beginning of the season. So that is kind of what's been going on. Kind of expected a more free-flowing offense, more, you know, ball movement, you know, in this offense. And then defensively, there's been a large influx of talent onto this team, a lot of athleticism, size added, and just better quality defenders on this roster, right? So, you know, people like Kobe Bufkin, draft pick from last year. He has showed excellent work on the defensive end. V. Krejci has been a standout, kind of bloomed at the end of last season. We've obviously acquired Dyson Daniels, which I mentioned, who, you know, is a very, if nothing else, a very, very good defender, if not, you know, one of the best in the NBA, especially at point of attack, organizing the defense and wreaking havoc, jumping passing lanes, but taking the right gambles there. So those are some of the major talents. Also added Reese Achay, who knows how to play the game. Of course, he's 19, so not expecting him to be a defensive stalwart year one, but there's a lot of young guys on this team that can really grow and fit with the type of team that, you know, the Hawks need to be successful on both ends of the floor. So that is where we are at. And I'm going to get into the offense, kind of talking a little bit more about what we saw preseason, which is, again, some of those things that we had been wanting to see. There's more free-flowing basketball, a lot more ball movement. It was a lot more diverse offensively, you know, less stagnation with your turn, my turn, with DeJounte and Trey, just kind of one of them standing out, you know, at the top of the key or on the wing with the other, you know, running a pick and roll, or, you know, in DeJounte's case, maybe, you know, getting to the mid-range, like I always say, and kind of stopping there, taking a pull-up. It's definitely a lot more versatile, what we've seen in the preseason. Of course, there's less stagnation, a lot more, you know, ball movement, a focus on taking a high volume of threes, and just simply shooting when you're open and making quick decisions. So if, you know, you don't have the three there, you know, give a little pump fake, jab, maybe pull up there again, or, you know, just take a quick drive. There's not, you know, you need, in this offense, it's going to be a lot of split second decisions, not a whole lot of dribbling around and, you know, by anyone, you know, mainly except for Trey. Of course, he's going to run the majority of the offense when he's on the floor and kind of set guys up, set himself up, run pick and rolls. But he's obviously, you know, one of the best passers and ball movers in the NBA as well. You're also, you know, probably hoping Jalen takes a little bit more of a leap there, as he is kind of, you know, going to be slotted into that second man role without DeJounte. It is going to be his fourth year, but really more like his third year of actually being around the team. So we'll see what type of leap he can make. But in the preseason, on the offensive end, it was very encouraging. You know, exactly what we've been talking about and wanted to see, with just ball movement, quick decision making, three-pointers, and just playing as a team, really. On the defensive end, of course, Dyson Daniels, who I spoke about, jumped off the page right away. I was actually at the preseason opener, actually got to sit in the bottom bowl, because as you can imagine with the preseason game, there's not, you know, it's not a sold out game, right? So was able to get up close, see everyone playing up close. Everyone did, you know, the main guys did play a decent chunk of minutes, you know, probably 20 to 30 minutes for each of them. So we got to see a good bit, and, you know, see Trey and Jalen and Dyson play together. It looked great. You know, Dyson was shutting down Halliburton, you know, literally on the first play, stonewalling him and other guards really all game. Obviously, he's the biggest influx or insert of defensive talent from last year to this year. But it was truly encouraging to see. I mean, I haven't seen defense played like that in a Hawks uniform in many, many, many years, if not ever. So they also have guys like Kobe Bufkin. He looked great at the point of attack. He also showed some promise on the offensive end, which is, of course, the end that he, you know, struggles a little bit more on as, you know, a young guy coming into this league, trying to figure out how to play and see how he can fit, you know, on the NBA floor on the offensive end. He looked good running pick and rolls. His shot, you know, probably still has a way to go, but really it's about, again, playing the right way and not really worrying about whether it's going in or not. You know, at this point, it's just about shot selection, make the right reads, and doing the best he can. So he looked pretty good on offense. He did have, as well, one game where he actually put up over 30 points when Trey and most of the other starters didn't play. So really big takeaways. Offense, it's free-flowing, much more versatile. And, of course, on defense, also a lot more versatile there. They are able to actually take, capitalize on size advantages now with the roster, right? They have a 6'10 guy in Reese Achay where, you know, he's playing the 2 and the 3. Dyson, 6'7", he's playing the 2. You know, they still have guys like DeAndre Hunter. Of course, Jalen Johnson has great size and athleticism for his position as well. So it was definitely promising. I'm going to move on to Reese Achay here a little bit and kind of talk about some developments with him. He has definitely put on some weight. Allegedly, they said that he's put on 20 pounds. I don't know, you know, if that's true or, you know, what exactly the number is, but you can just tell by looking at him, you know, from when we saw him draft night to now, you can see he's a lot more toned. And even with the way that he played from summer league to now, he's able to withstand a lot more force. You know, he didn't look like he was getting pushed around, you know, as much as he was in summer league with these guys that are just, you know, big, strong, athletic adult men, you know, versus a 19-year-old 6'10 guy who is pretty, you know, skinny coming in, right? He's getting a little more wiry. He's also really using his size advantage on defense to really make an impact. He's also quick, getting, you know, deflections, really good. He looked like an all good or a good all around defender, to be honest, from summer, from the preseason, and, you know, saw some improvement from summer league. Of course, I don't want to put too much stock in preseason or summer league for that matter, but it was, you know, quite encouraging. And I think he's going to be, you know, a better rookie than, you know, most rookies are, especially at 19 years old. He's 6'10", playing the 2 and the 3, has high basketball IQ. I think he's going to have a good rookie year. Of course, there's going to be ups and downs, but, you know, he looks great. And if he can carry over how he looked in the preseason this year and just kind of keep that up and continue to work, you know, his future is very bright. So I'm excited about that. It just shows you as well, you know, all of the pre-draft talk and draft analysis, you just never know, you know, how these guys are going to turn out. He's looking great. So, you know, no one nationally has been talking about him as a, you know, great number one overall pick. But, you know, I think he's going to be really good for this team. And you know, a long-term starter at the three, in my opinion. You know, long-term, looking at this team, I'm seeing Trey starting, of course, Dyson at the two, Reese Shea at the three, Jalen at the four, and Okongwu, or, you know, whatever competent center that can, you know, maybe shoot it, stretch the floor a little bit. You know, if they somehow move on from Okongwu, I don't know what that's, you know, necessarily going to look like with the future of the center position here. But, you know, those four guys starting one through four, and then, you know, a competent center around them, I think in the next 2-3 years is going to be an excellent, excellent starting lineup. So, really, this is more about the future this year. You know, all these guys are pretty young. I'm sure we're not going to be contending for the title or anything this year. But, you know, everything looked pretty promising. And it's, if nothing else, a nice change from the brand of basketball that's been played in the last couple of years. So, overall, of course, I don't want to put too much stock in preseason basketball, but it does back up and, you know, echo what I've been saying this whole off season. Of course, it was encouraging to see the free-flowing basketball, the cutting, spacing, constant movement. You know, and I think they'll have a good transition season here. They do have a legitimate chance at becoming a title contender in the coming years if they can, you know, just continue to build off what they have started. I'm going to transition here and won't go on too long about this. I'll get out of here. But I'm going to go over kind of the schedule for the first 10 games and kind of my predictions there. So, home opener, October 23rd, Wednesday, at home versus the Brooklyn Nets. I would expect a win. The Nets are rebuilding, do not have a great team, just our roster is undoubtedly has a lot more talent than Brooklyn Nets, even though, of course, there's a lot of new pieces on the Hawks. The Nets are not really trying to win, right? So, of course, nothing is a given. I would expect us to come out, though, and win that first game. Second game, 2 days later, Friday, versus the Hornets, also at home. The Hornets have been a thorn in the Hawks' side for the last couple of years for whatever reason. They just can't seem to put them away, and Hornets make shots, and I don't know what it is, but seem cursed with the Hornets. Having said that, you know, the Hawks should be favored, and again at home, I'd be expecting them to be 2-0 on Friday, beating both of those teams. Then they travel Sunday to Oklahoma City, play the Thunder. You know, I'll just say they're probably going to drop that game 2-1. Then they come back home, face the Wizards on Monday. I'd expect a win there, so 3-1. Then they actually go back over to play the Wizards in D.C. Next Wednesday, October 30th. And let's just say they're going to split that one, you know, split that little mini series and maybe drop that game, just some, I don't know, you know, kinks to work out, you know, with rotations or what have you, with the new team kind of gelling together. So let's just be safe there and say they go 3-2 and bring it back home versus the Kings. Of course, that's kind of a toss-up. They're at home. Let's go with 4-2 there. And then they actually go out to play the Pelicans. We'll have to beat the Pelicans. not to, you know, don't wish DeJounte any bad, but you know, after making that trade, we're gonna have to give it our best shot and hopefully win and become 5-2 there. Then we go play the Celtics, you know, at home. Probably we'll drop that game, say we're 5-3. Play the Knicks. Let's go with 5-4 there. And then play the Pistons in Detroit on November 8th. So probably pretty winnable game. So they could, you know, realistically, I think go, you know, 6-4. If things go poorly, maybe 5-5 or so. But it's not an incredibly hard first 10 games of the season. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing, right? Because there is a lot of new things to, you know, work out with, a lot of new faces on the roster, new style of play on really both ends. So figuring out lineups, seeing what works, you know, it's going to be kind of a learning process, right? Those first 10 games. But it, you know, I think we can come out of it, you know, 500 or, you know, maybe 6-4, which I think, you know, would be a positive start. So I won't go any further there. Hope that kind of sets the stage for what I'm expecting for the first few weeks of the season and, you know, the greater portion of the season as well. But without further delay, I will kind of hop off the podcast here, leave you with this. I'm looking forward to the season. We'll see how the first few games go and, you know, given any major developments or, you know, we'll see when I do the next podcast. I'm expecting, you know, to at least do one a month, you know, during the season. So we'll see how things go. I'm excited. And thank you for listening. I am going to actually do want to mention, I'm going to start an Instagram page as well. So I don't know exactly what the, you know, what that's going to be, but you can, you know, follow me on HawksWatch99 on Twitter. And I will have an Instagram page up as well to kind of, you know, promote the podcast and have people follow along with this if you want to, you know, stay updated, you know, for when I release episodes, etc. All right. With that, I will get out of here. Should be a fun season. Again, thank you for listening. Hope everyone has a great day and enjoys the first game here on Wednesday. Take care.